Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at successful job hunting. We'll zero in a bit on new grads, but maybe you're not a new grad. Maybe you're an older grad and you have some questions too. And if you do, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to have you. Maybe you're currently looking for a job. Maybe you have some experience of your own looking. What have you learned from those job hunting experiences? Hope you'll share them with me and our listeners, the rest of our listeners, and with Paige Goldner. Paige, our guest today, she is managing director of the executive search branch of QTI Professional Staffing. Great to have her back to talk with us about what to do in the job market. Certainly, again, call in with your own questions, comments, or experiences at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Paige, great to see you. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here today. Glad to be back.
I have in my own department, where I'm a professor and advisor as well, I have 22 seniors who will be graduating this year, and I think 18 or 19 of them have jobs. So they're doing pretty well.
I think that is a fantastic number. It sounds like that they have been well prepared for what it's going to take upon graduation. And I know that it sounds like maybe they've been doing some preparation long before they thought about graduation, which I think is an integral part of the job search process for those new grads.
Yeah, we always talk, when I sit down with the students early on, I say, well, there's, you know, three things. Do as well as you can in your classes, but then get involved in some good activities on campus. That's the second leg. And the third leg of the stool is internships, and very important in this day and age to have them.
I think that's very valuable advice. The internship has really become, in some ways, your first entry-level job. It's what's going to prepare you for having some experience alongside your academic work to be able to relay to a prospective employer, to be able to position yourself to have some transferable skills when you go into the job market. And those internships are also valuable opportunities to try out different activities, different positions to get a better sense of what you want to do next. And you meet a number of people gather folks in your network that could be helpful. So on numerous levels, I highly recommend an internship or multiple internships.
Maybe you could talk for just a minute about QTI professional staffing and what you do, because I think it's really interesting. You got an interesting job.
Yeah, I have a great job. I work for a fabulous company. We've been in Madison over 55 years at this point in time. We offer a breadth of HR and staffing-related services in the south central portion of Wisconsin up to and including the Appleton area. And we recruit anywhere from industrial level candidates to skilled labor, which is an area that we're seeing a lot of activity in. We also do administrative and clerical type staffing, both on the direct hire and temporary side of things. And while I'm discussing this, temporary opportunities are another great place for new grads, as well as those maybe in transition, to consider some of those temporary positions, and we work quite a bit in that. And then rounding it out, we do professional and executive direct hire placements, as well as HR consulting and outsourced HR services. So we are a breadth of things in the HR world.
Broad range.
Yeah.
I was thinking, when you mentioned skilled labor, I wondered, okay, that, what do you mean by skilled labor? As you mentioned, that might be kind of a hotter area right now.
It is an area where we are seeing some growth and actually a shortage of qualified candidates in some cases. Things along the lines of, say, CNC machinists, welders, people that have a skilled trade is something that, surprisingly enough, although maybe manufacturing is not coming back as strong as some other sectors, there are still opportunities for positions in that area. So really, as you can see from my description, we touch on all sectors, variety of professions, and really all areas of human resources.
Back to your mention or your comment about internships and how important they are. I was thinking back here, trying to remember of the 20 or two or so of my advisees, quite a few of them are actually being hired where they interned. So that can lead to, an internship can lead directly to a job with a company.
Absolutely. If you think about it from the standpoint of, as the internship participant, it gives you a chance to have an opportunity to gather some skills, to gain some work experience. But as the person providing the internship, it gives them a chance to really see you in action, mm-hmm. get a chance to see how you might contribute to the company. And maybe in some cases, they would create a position that would not otherwise be there in order to bring you into the organization. Not all internships will evolve into a job, but what you've also gained from that experience is a contact, mm-hmm. someone who can speak to your skill set, which is another valuable aspect of a job search. Networking is going to be a key piece, and that's key for new grads as well as people that have been working for 25 years that may find themselves in a job search. Mm-hmm. Networking will be an integral part of your process, and one I highly recommend that people take advantage of.
You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call if you have a question or maybe an experience to share. Mike in Marquette, Michigan, we turn to you. Thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi there. How's it going this afternoon?
Great. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Not so much a question. I just wanted to give kind of some words of encouragement. I had kind of a rough go, and just honestly wanted to tell people stick in there. Where I'm living in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, I'm actually sitting between Escanaba and Menominee right now, pulled over on the side of the road to be safe. But, you know, it, up in that area, it's really difficult to find full-time work. Part of the problem is the fact that more of a who you know instead of what you know sort of situation up there. And that hit me hard for a lot of years, especially considering the fact that, you know, try to put everything you're qualified for. And to make things feel even worse for me, I have a degree in information technology. My degree is computer information systems. And that really is supposed to be something that we've always felt was supposed to transition from industry to industry. It doesn't matter what industry you go in, everybody's got computers. And that doesn't exactly always fit the case.
Yeah.
It took me 3 years to find something, but finally I found something full-time. I'm now a service technician with the Pitney Bowes Corporation, and I've honestly, you know, I couldn't be happier. I've got a job that I can invest in and retire with. And like I said, for people, it is slowly turning around, but at the same time, it's going to take some time. Don't give up.
Yeah.
I think your advice is excellent, Mike, and congratulations on being persistent. And it sounds like keeping a really positive attitude throughout something that I know is stressful and trying. And persistence does pay off. I think my advice to people is often to keep a good attitude and to really not lose your faith. In terms of the fact that something will come to fruition, you will find that next opportunity, and just one foot in front of the other each day and having small goals and looking to achieve those goals, you will be successful. And it sounds like that was a big part of your success. So I'm very happy for you.
Yeah.
I think, Kenny, another big piece of advice is don't be afraid to ask for help on something. In Michigan, we've got a local job force organization called Michigan Works. It's state-run. They've been phenomenal with helping me get everything from my resume straightened out to helping me with interview coaching and everything like that. Even though I had snagged a full-time job when I lived in Green Bay, they helped me fine-tune the skills I know I already had and just made sure it was really polished. And like I said, don't hesitate to ask for help. I'm not exactly sure what maybe state-run or private organizations are out there that can help you in Wisconsin, but seriously, ask for help. You know, even if you don't think you need it, there's always something you can always improve on. No one's ever perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Comment, Paige?
Yeah, I think that's excellent advice to always seek out those mentors or organizations that might be able to assist you along the way. And I think as you go through interview processes, if you find yourself in a situation of not getting the position, I think it's fine to politely ask for maybe some reasons why they didn't select you or any sort of input that they may be able to get you, because any little pieces of advice that can help improve things as you go along the process, whether it be with the resume or the interviewing skills. I think it's always a valuable thing to have along the way. So I think your advice is well taken, Mike.
Thanks a lot for calling, Mike. Appreciate your call. Yeah, and sometimes it's just little things. I sat on many committees, hiring committees, and sometimes you'll have 200. You might have 200 people applying for a job, mm-hmm. and as you're going through the resumes, if somebody's got a typo or there's a grammatical error, and this is a communications position,
right.
you don't even go any further with that mm-hmm. particular resume or letter.
It is a competitive job market, and anything that you can do to ensure that your resume gets a second glance or you as a candidate are more highly considered, I think you need those competitive edges. And to Mike's point, asking for advice and looking for help in a multitude of places will help round out your search, and I think will make you be a more highly considered candidate. And I think persistence, too. You've got to be persistent and work at it maybe a little harder than you might anticipate going into the process, because there will be some work involved.
Laura in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Laura. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Absolutely. I just wanted to call. I actually worked with QTI on a job search about a year ago, and actually worked with a couple of other placement agencies as well. And QTI was really just so valuable in helping me bump up my interview skills, which were completely rusty. And I really wanted to encourage people to, you know what, ask the questions that need to be asked. If you haven't been out there in a while, find out what people are looking for, and also just make sure that you're hearing their answers. You're not just assuming that you know everything. Don't worry about it. I'm good at this, because the market has changed, and it's a good thing to get some new knowledge. So that was all I had. So
thank you.
Hopefully it's helpful to somebody.
Oh, Laura, thanks so much. I'm so glad that you found your experience with QTI to be a valuable one. We take a lot of pride in the work we do with our clients and our candidates, and so I appreciate that you had a wonderful experience with us, and congratulations. It sounds like your job search came to a successful conclusion.
It really did, and I'm so happy where I am.
Good,
great.
Good.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Paige Goldner, our guest today, Managing Director of the Executive Search Branch of QTI Professional Staffing, talking with her today about successful job hunting, zeroing in a little on new grads, but actually if you're not a new grad, that's all right. You have a question or comment or experience to share, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining in on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Paige Goldner of QTI Professional Staffing. Great to have her along. Thank you so much for listening in. You know, our last caller, Paige, mentioned that she got a lot of help with her interviewing skills, that your company, QTI, really helped there. And as you, obviously, you see lots and lots and lots of people who are looking for jobs and going through the interviewing process. What are the kinds of problems that, or the sort of shortcomings, might we say, that people have when they go into an interview?
I think one of the challenging things, whether you're a new grad or someone that's been in the workforce for a long time, is to try to think about how your skills will relate to the job that you're applying for. It's really important to take a look at the job description or whatever information that you may have about the position and give some thought to how your experience to date has prepared you to accomplish what the employer is looking for. And I often suggest to people to almost sit down and chart out, take that qualification and have a few examples in mind of real-world experiences. And for a new grad, sometimes those might be college project experiences, volunteer experiences, yeah. internship experience. It may not be paid, but they're still experiences, or for people further along in their career, work experiences that relate, because that's what the employer is going to be looking for. Examples of a time when you've found yourself in a similar situation and how you can contribute. I think the other piece of preparation is really doing a lot of research on the company. Employers want to know that you know about them. The more you know about them, not only is it going to be impressive to the person interviewing you, but you're also going to be able to better equate the experiences that you've had with what they're looking for. You need to understand their business. You need to understand the sector, whatever challenges their sector, and we've all faced some over the last several years with the economic situation, but what are some of the specific challenges that they've faced? How might you help with some of those challenges? It's really knowing as much as you possibly can about the organization.
And actually, before you ever get an interview, you've got that resume to send on. I'm wondering about this whole process, first in terms of a printed resume, and then the length of the resume, and where do you, I mean, is everything getting done online these days, or?
Majority of the resumes we receive, I would say, gosh, 99% of them come through electronic form.
Yeah.
Every now and again, we'll get a hard copy or a fax, but most people send an email. I guess there are differing opinions probably on resumes. In terms of length, I'd say no more than 3 pages, probably preferable is 2. You have to consider that the volume of resumes being received by the people who would be reviewing those, they're probably going to be looked at maybe for a minute or less. It's a marketing piece. It should be something that takes the skill sets that you have that can be transferable to the position you're applying for and cause them to rise to the surface for someone who is reading the information. It should be to the point, but all-encompassing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have actually, we sort of train our students to have not one resume, but several. They will write specific resumes for the jobs they're applying for, which I think helps.
Yeah, I think that's excellent advice. You will often find yourself having to tailor a resume for each position that you apply for because you want to make sure that the transferable skills, and you're likely to have more than you can put on any one resume, or you may want to highlight them in a different order. But I agree with you. I think that's excellent advice and one that I give people frequently, to tailor that resume and tailor the cover letter. And when you tailor the cover letter, it doesn't simply mean changing the name of the company. Really try to tailor that specific to the position that you are applying for.
Absolutely. An email from Cece in Madison. What's the first step for a 26-year-old degree-holding young man who graduated in history but has no career specifically in mind? He graduated 4 years ago, has been living the ski instructor paycheck to paycheck life, now knows he needs to figure out what to do with his life. But the question is, how does he figure out how to figure out what to do?
I think that's a great question, and I think one that a lot of young people find themselves facing. So I guess I would recommend for him to ask himself the question, you know, what do I want to have on my resume in a year? And that may be something that he's wrestling with at this point in time, but really he needs to begin to sort of think about where he wants to find himself, at least at the beginning of his career. And so taking some of the advice that we talked about, maybe it is some volunteer type experience, maybe it is an internship alongside some paid work that might be not necessarily the career of choice, but something that pays the bills while he's also working in the internship, just to expose himself to career opportunities. I think that he could really try to hone in on maybe 2 or 3 areas that he's interested in and explore those and see what seems to be of interest. And I'd also say that the first job that puts you on the path to your career, I think college grads need to understand that that's not going to be the last position that you're ever going to hold. Having the opportunity to maybe work in a small to medium-sized company where you're going to get exposed to a lot of different things, maybe having multitude of duties might be another good opportunity to test the waters in a variety of different areas as opposed to maybe being more narrowly focused in one.
We have Amy in New London with a question for you. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question. I have been in the job hunt market for a few, well, almost 2 months now. I'm currently employed, but will be experiencing a layoff at the end of the month. I have passed telephone interviews. I have had personal interviews and actually been told you're a great fit. We're just looking for the right position. I'll call you back in a few days, and I never hear back ever. Hmm. I've asked the questions, you know, is there anything that's going to prevent you from hiring me? No, you're great, you're wonderful, and nothing.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing the right things. It certainly, I always recommend to people at the end of the interview to really close for the job, tell them that you'd like the position, and it sounds like you're asking the questions along those lines as well. I'm curious, Amy, have you, after you haven't heard anything, politely kind of followed up and said, you know, I haven't heard from you, where are you in your process? Is that a route you've taken?
It sure has, okay. And I've left voicemails, sent email without being you know, harassing, of course.
Right.
And I don't get a reply.
Yeah, I can understand how that would be really frustrating. And I think, as you're alluding to, there's a fine line. You want to be persistent and polite and following up, but then there comes a point where maybe it might be the kind of thing to just assume that you're not going to hear from them. Mm-hmm. I think that I would still recommend, in each of the instances, maybe where it doesn't move forward to a job offer, to ask those questions that you're asking and try to seek feedback. Not everyone is going to be willing to give it, unfortunately. Yeah. That is the case. But
I think there are company policies in some places where you're not allowed to do it because of potential lawsuits, things like that.
Right. Yeah, there are various constraints. And sometimes people just also aren't comfortable providing the feedback. But I think a follow-up phone call, a follow-up note, and then maybe after several months, possibly if it was an organization that you're really interested in, I don't think there's anything that says that you couldn't follow up again and inquire whether that position may have been filled or if there might be other opportunities with that organization, just to keep your name out there and your consideration fresh with them. But it really sounds like you're doing the right things, and I bet something's going to come to fruition for you because your approach is great.
Well, it is really frustrating because you get really confident about your interview. Mm-hmm. You feel like you've done very well, and then not to get any kind of response. I mean, I'll take a decline over no response, you know.
Right.
And so it's just really difficult to even want to go on an interview, but of course, it's not an option.
No.
Well, try not to let it be the thing that causes you to lose confidence in yourself, because you are doing exactly what I would have recommended had you called and asked me what I would recommend that you do. So just continue to be persistent, follow up. Even the sheer fact that you're following up separates you from a large percentage of people. So I'm confident that it's going to come together for you, Amy.
And you sound great on the phone.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you sound really good on the phone. So, I would keep. You're gonna be fine.
Okay.
Thanks, Amy.
Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Take care.
Tracy in Minocqua. I'm sorry, Jenny in Salem. It's your turn. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, I'd just like to recommend the book StrengthsFinders 2.0. It's not only a book, but it has a link to a website where you take an assessment and you come out with a really nice, concise lineup of your strengths and what those strengths would translate to in the workplace. And I have often recommended that to people, and they've taken it with them to interviews, and it's really helped them talk about who they are and fit themselves into a position. And even when I get new managers, sometimes I will take that and talk to a new manager with it in hand, because it helps them understand where you're coming from and who you are as a person and how they can best motivate and manage you.
Hmm.
Excellent. And I bet it is also quite helpful as people begin to think about putting their resume together and their transferable skills and how those might fit into a variety of positions.
Right.
And what was the name of it again?
Pardon?
What was the name of it again?
StrengthFinders, I think the current version.
Oh, StrengthFinders.
Mm-hmm. 2.0.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. Tracy in Minocqua, now it's your turn. Thank you for waiting.
Oh, thanks so much. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure.
Just a comment. I'm a mother of a recent grad from Michigan Tech University in the UP. My son graduated in civil engineering, not quite 2 years ago. Not a real good time as far as construction engineering. But I just wanted to comment that, oftentimes a situation will present itself that has nothing to do with a job search that turns out as a job opportunity. He was working in a resort, kind of a high-end resort in the area in the summer after he graduated. He met a guest there who had a shirt on that said, "I love physics." And Lars went up to him and said, "You must be an engineer. No one would wear that if you weren't an engineer." Conversation started. His son, who was a civil engineer, he introduced him to him, took a look at Lars's resume. Well, Lars was a B student, had an internship, but what they really liked about him is that he was on the football team. He carried a B average, and also, he was off the football team, but then had a part-time job, and all of his interests, sports interests, community service, church involvement. They offered him an internship out in San Francisco. He got the job, a great company. And who would have known that he would have, had that opportunity in the job, summer job that he had. So I think it's really all about, meeting people, connecting with people, and putting yourself out there, showing what kind of person you are. And the other thing is that the people out in California like the Midwest work ethic.
Yes.
So that's huge.
Yeah.
And since he's been working there, they have noticed a big difference in the people from California versus the Midwest. So anyway.
Those are great story. Thank you so much, Tracy.
Great for your son.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, appreciate that call very much. Well, and he took advantage. I mean,
he did.
He wasn't afraid to approach someone with their T-shirt. And
that is so key in terms of the networking activities. I mean, networking doesn't just sort of happen in a specific
going to
time
a party.
A specific time and place. It's all about talking with people and letting them know that you're in your job search. And as her son did, maybe not necessarily approaching the person of "I'm looking for a job," but just having a conversation with someone, because you never know where that relationship may lead. And we hear stories like that a lot. It's still one of the best ways to look for opportunities and get to know people in your community.
I had a friend who was coming to graduate school and just arriving and found a dog, that had dog tags, mm-hmm. and called the owner, and the owner came over, a lady, and got talking with her. And she said, it turned out that she was quite wealthy and had two children, and they normally had a woman graduate student live with them to be a good influence on their kids. But she liked him so much, she said, "Would you be willing to..." So he stayed at their mansion.
Wow.
And was a good influence on the kids for his entire graduate program.
Oh, that's a great story. Yeah, it's funny how life works. You just never know who you're going to meet and where it might lead.
A caller in Milwaukee would like to hear what you have to say about people in their 50s and 60s having a hard time finding a position. Some employers don't seem to want to hire an older worker. Although I've seen that change a little bit, maybe I'm totally wrong, but I've read some pieces where older people are, at least in some fields, are more likely to be picked because they tend to be To show up for work on time, right, and to do their work and so forth.
And think about the wealth of knowledge and experience at that point in your career that you can offer an organization. And I think a lot of the rules, so to speak, that apply to new grads apply across the continuum of one's career. I think it is also about who you know. I think at that phase in your career, if we're talking about networking, you're likely to have a pretty extensive network of individuals through which you can make some connections and get an introduction. I sometimes talk with individuals who are at that stage in their career who are looking for maybe a career switch. We talk with people who may be interested in moving from for-profit to not-for-profit and often ask, you know, how can I do that? I think one of the things that's a great way to make a segue, whether it's a career switch as dramatic as that or even just sort of looking for a different position, is look for ways to get involved in your community. Look for organizations, nonprofit organizations that you may be really interested and passionate about their mission. And let's say, for example, you have an accounting background. You could potentially volunteer to help them in a financial capacity, or you're a marketing expert. You could help them with that. You could look for opportunities to serve on a board and contribute in that manner. It not only allows you to give back to your community, it also opens up different opportunities that you may not have considered, expands your network. So, you know, I think in terms of sort of wherever you may be in your career, I think the same types of persistence in your job search and translating those skill sets into what you might be able to do for the organization that you're interested in, it still applies. I don't think sort of the stage should impact that. I think you have a ton to offer at that point in your career. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Shelley in Madison, your turn. Hi, Shelley.
Good morning. Thank you for this absolutely wonderful and important program. I wish you did this more often. I speak at several universities about writing resumes, cover letters, and interviewing skills. And one of the points I wanted to make was I don't think people realize the importance of practicing for an interview. I often use a sports analogy about how you would not go out and compete in a volleyball match without practicing with your team, etc. I also emphasize the importance of getting very, very honest feedback on your interview skills, on your resume, etc. I wanted to commend the person who talked about Strength Finders. That is an excellent. There are several series of books on that. And another book I actually have in my trunk right now, but I'm driving, is I think it's called In 60 Seconds. And it's the impression that you make when you walk into an interview in 60 seconds. So I can just not say how much. Thank you, Public Radio. Thank you for having this program. It is wonderful.
Well, thanks, Shelley.
Thank you, Shelley. And I think your advice is excellent in terms of preparation. Nothing can replace preparation, and that oftentimes will be to your great benefit as an interviewee. And I've seen those who are very well prepared and some less so, and it does make a difference. So great advice.
I was trying to remember who it was that said chance favors the prepared mind. You're less likely to, you'll be less nervous probably if you feel like you've really studied the company, that you've anticipated, you've practiced answering perhaps questions, you're going to be more at ease, I think.
I would agree. And that's why, as I had remarked earlier, if you take some time to sit down and think about your work history and think about what the organization is looking for and just sketch out a little bit of a list of some examples that you may be able to provide to questions that you would anticipate they ask, and you can anticipate what will be asked based on the job description. I think even just the thought process that goes into that, you will feel far more prepared to give examples when they ask for them, because they will ask for them.
Daryl in Exonia, hello to you.
Hi. I've been looking for a job for a couple of weeks, and what I've been finding is, you know, I go to these websites like Monster.com and things that have jobs posted, and I'll send my resume. And then to do a follow-up, I'll go to the website and find the company and find the HR person, and I will call them. And they act like several times will say, well, that job was filled like 29 days ago. And it's like I look at that's happened like three or four times. And or else I'll call and it'll be, oh, we're not the company that's hiring. We're like a headhunting agency, and mm-hmm. that's just one of our clients, but that job's filled. And it's kind of like, you know, you're how are you wasting time sometimes? I think these websites put jobs on there just so they can, you know, sell advertising and say, oh, yeah, we got 20,000 job openings. Well, really, you haven't, you know, updated your system, and a lot of these jobs aren't even available.
Yes, that's frustrating as a job seeker, and I think sometimes as there are a number of websites out there that are aggregators of job postings and they pull from a variety of places and things get filled, the website hasn't always caught up with where the job is in terms of the stage of process. I think one remark that you made is excellent, that you have taken the time to follow up directly with the human resources department of the company hiring. That's a great mm-hmm. thing to do. It certainly gives you a personal contact there, and that conversation may potentially, maybe they have filled that job, but I think during that conversation, it would certainly be appropriate to ask if they're similar positions, if they might consider you for other things. Just really use the maybe 3 or 4 minutes that you're on the phone with them to try to develop enough of a relationship that leaves the door ajar for future opportunities. So you're definitely setting yourself apart by even making that phone call. One thing I did want to mention, there are websites out there that can help you maybe aggregate some of the postings that come directly from company websites.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one specific for smartphones and iPhones called LinkUp, and you can be directly notified of job postings that come from the organization and not necessarily those that are coming from some of the bigger job posting sites. So that might be something you might want to take a look at.
Absolutely. And just a last piece of advice on Facebook from Lisa. In grad school, she was advised to keep a master resume or CV. Then we could pick and choose which pieces to include for each position we applied for, create a new resume each time from the master copy. It's something I still do, and that's kind of what I was talking about earlier.
Right.
We try to have that master resume.
I think that's great advice. Maybe the master resume is lengthier than what you would typically send for a position, but you have an all-encompassing kind of running list of all of your skills and contributions. And as she said, you can pick and choose and customize for each position.
And early on, just to conclude, you mentioned skilled labor as an area where you're seeing some job growth. And then I think you also mentioned medical field.
I mean, we're seeing job growth in a number of different areas. I think nationwide, what I'm understanding is that certainly healthcare and business are sectors that seem to be improving more quickly, as one might anticipate. And I think new college grads need to certainly not discount large organizations as potential places of hire, but don't forget about small to medium-sized businesses as opportunities for both internships or maybe even if you're kind of beyond college grad, mm-hmm. even doing an internship at that stage of your life where you have another job to accompany it, because those are organizations that tend to be hiring, and you're going to have a lot of opportunity to do a multitude of things. So think about large organizations, but also don't forget about those small to medium-sized businesses where some of the growth is happening as well.
Paige, a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you'll come back and be with us.
I would love to come back. This is fun. And thank you all for your calls and questions. So,
some good ones.
Thank you.
Yeah. Paige Goldner is the managing director of the executive search branch of QTI Professional Staffing. And you have a website. People can go to that website if they want.
Yes, it's qtigroup.com. Mm-hmm. And we do post the positions that we're working on in all the areas that I talked about, from executive, professional, clerical, mm-hmm. and administrative, skilled labor, and industrial. It's all out there. So please take a look at us.
And up to date.
It is up to date, always.
And it's QTI?
QTIgroup.com.
Thanks again, Paige.
Thank you.
Paige Goldner, our guest, and she's been sharing some great information for job seekers. I think a lot of us think that our next guest has one of the best jobs in the world. He's children's book author and illustrator Kevin Hankes, And he will talk with us about his work, what makes for really great children's book. And I hope you'll stay with us because he's coming up next year on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.